My brothers and sisters, I tell you nothing new, that we live in a world ruled by performance, by productivity. From the needing to prove ourselves from children, we learn this oftentimes, that love somehow is earned because we understand grades are achieved, promotions are won. We understand that respect sometimes must be constantly proven to be deserved. This is what we learn at a young age. And yet somewhere along the line, somewhere along the way, we begin to project this exhausting logic onto God. We start to believe that we must first clean ourselves up. We must present a holier life. We must order all things first. We must become worthy before God can truly love us, before God can do anything with us and through us. Thankfully, today's readings gently and powerfully dismantle this exhaustion. They proclaim a different gospel, that before God ever asks anything of us, he has already done everything for us. Before the commission, there is consolation. Before we are sent, we are first carried. Listen again to the tenderness of our first reading. Israel has been rescued from Egypt, brought to the foot of Mount Sinai, and before God speaks a single commandment, he says this: "You have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians, and how I bore you up on eagle's wings, and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession." What a promise. The Hebrew word, segula, means my treasured possession. What are we talking about here? It is the word a king uses to describe his most private treasure. Not the gold of his treasury, but the ring of his authority on his finger. The authority of kingship, what he possesses, what he treasures. My brothers and sisters, that is who we are. That is how we are treasured. Notice the order in this first reading. It's deliverance first, then comes duty. It's God's grace first, then comes the law. Let us not be mistaken. God does not say, "Obey me and then I will love you." No. "I have already loved you. I have already carried you. Now will you walk with me?" St. Paul makes the same point very startlingly in the second gospel. "While we were still helpless," he says, "Christ died for the ungodly." And as if we missed it, he says it again in other words: "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." St. Augustine, wrestling with those who are tempted to think that they could somehow earn their way to God, proclaims these words are the definitive proof that our salvation is a gift, a meritless gift from God. We do not climb up to him, he comes down to us. He does not wait for us to be beautiful before loving us. No, his love is what makes us beautiful. Dear friends, I want you to hear this so personally. For so many of us who walk into this church today with burdens upon our hearts, a regret, a failure, a sense that somehow you need to be proven, that you might not be the person you're called to be, that somehow you feel that you don't even belong here at this Mass, this place of worship. Please listen, the gospel is not that God loves you because you are good. The gospel is that God loved you while you were not, and that love is what makes you good. You are reconciled, you are a treasured possession, not someday, but right now. And only when we rest with this truth can we truly understand what happens next in our gospel. Jesus looks at the crowd, as Matthew tells us, and he says he's moved with pity. The Greek word for pity that's used here is more of a visceral kind, truly meaning that he was moved in his gut. to the very depths of the fiber of his being. Why? Because he saw the people troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved in his gut to respond. My friends, this is the compassion that drives mission. Not strategy, not guilt, not duty, but a heart broken open by what God sees. And only then, only the gaze of love, does God send his disciples out. And he gives them the principle of the whole Christian life in seven beautiful words. He says, without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. My brothers and sisters, this is everything. We cannot share what we've not first received, and we have received everything first. So if we try to do mission, if we try to be good parents, good students, good spouses, good neighbors, good Christians, from a tank that is not filled with his grace, we're going to burn out. We're going to be stretched. We're going to be stressed. We're going to be climbing uphill. But if we know in our bones that we've been carried on eagle's wings, that we are first loved and reconciled while we are still enemies, that we are God's treasured possession, service is no longer a burden. Our commitments are no longer a burden. Our relationships are no longer a burden. Our vocational call is no longer a burden. It is an overflow of joy. Because we give freely, because we've been given intimately first. St. Gregory the Great noticed something so striking in this gospel. Notice that the disciples pray for laborers, and then immediately he sends them out. Those who pray for the harvest are often called to be the very answer to their prayers, my brothers and sisters. So this week, I implore you, when you pray for the church, for your family, for your coworkers, for the state of the world, ask yourselves gently, Lord, am I part of the answer? And then step into that mission not out of guilt, but out of gratitude. Not to earn God's love, but because you have already have it. Amen.